who believe that God speaks just if I go out into the forest or into the mountain, I can have a private revelation with the divine. No. God brings us salvation by making us dependent upon other people who bring us the message. That means God has to choose somebody to bring the message to us. God could not have sent Christ to every nation and to allow each nation to crucify him. So he had to choose one nation to do it. And he chose Israel. So he's made us dependent upon them. And then at the end of the story, Israel will be dependent upon us. Because God says to Israel, through you I'll bring the message to all the world. But Israel hasn't taken the message to all the world. It's the Gentile church which has taken the Hebrew prophets, the Jewish prophets, to all the world. The Hebrew prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah, the Jewish prophets, are known all over the world, not because of the Jews, but because of the Gentiles, because of the Christian church. So you see, he's made us, the Gentiles, dependent upon them. And he's also made them dependent upon us. So we're all dependent upon one another. There's no private revelation of me alone on the hill with God. We need one another. That's why God chooses some to bless others, then those to return the blessing. That's Paul's point here. I hope you understand that. In verse 22 to 29, Paul shows that this is the theology of the whole Old Testament. I just read verse 25 only. He says, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. In other words, God had his people, the people of Israel. But now, because he can have mercy on whom he likes, he's chosen some other people. And he said, right, these are now my people. Those who were not my people are now my people. Those who were not loved are now loved. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. God moves first amongst the Jews, then amongst the Gentiles, then the Jews, then the Gentiles, until everything is complete at the end of the world. That's the point. Now, verse 30 to 33. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but Israel who pursued a law of righteousness has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Paul there is also making that great paradoxical point. It was the irreligious people who accepted Christ and the religious people who rejected him. The ordinary people who were not experts on religion, when they saw Christ or heard about him through the preaching of the apostles, they accepted the message gladly. They recognize that this man is the Savior. He is the Son of God. But the religious people who had the scriptures, who studied the scriptures, when they heard Christ, they said, no, he can't be the Messiah. He doesn't fit in exactly with all our religious doctrines. Now, this is a warning to us. Our Christian doctrines are there to lead us to God so that we worship him. But there's a danger. The danger is that our doctrines become the object of our worship. And I know people who are like this. They so love the doctrines that they've become almost worshipping the doctrines. They worship the doctrines themselves. They love them very much. And they can study them so deeply and analyze them and write books about them and essays about them and articles about them. And they never meet God. You see, the doctrines are supposed to lead us to God. They're not supposed to be the object of our worship. And that was the mistake that the Israelites made. They had the right doctrines, but they began to love the doctrine rather than God. So that when God came into their midst in the person of Jesus, they didn't recognize him. And they rejected him. That's what happened. But the ordinary people, they did recognize him. Now we have our structures and ways of doing things which are perfectly good. We have an order of service which we're following this evening. That order of service is supposed to lead us to God. We have a hymn and we have a prayer and we have a preaching. That's supposed to lead us to God. And so we're right to honor our order of service. But there's a danger. The danger is that we come to love the order of service itself. So that the order of service becomes the great object of our love and we daren't change it, because it would be, it's our God. And if we do that, we may not see God. If Christ were to appear in our midst this evening, it would change the order of service, wouldn't it? It would. Because he's greater than any order of service we have. So the order of service is good. But it mustn't be the object of our devotion. And so Paul says here, verse 30 again, what shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. A righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. In other words, the Israelites had made their wonderful scriptures and their wonderful teachings that should have led them to God. They had made them the object of their worship, and their law, their religion, had become legalism. Legalism means that you don't know God, you just observe the religious doctrines and the orders of service and the traditions, which are perfectly good, but they're no use if you don't allow them to lead you to God. I hope you see what I mean. And that was the mistake of Israel. That's why they couldn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But ordinary folks who were simply humble enough to open their hearts in faith, did recognize him. So they, through faith, recognized Christ and received him. Whereas those who were governed by law could not recognize him. That's what Paul means. Anyway, I've gone on too long. So it's 7:36. Let me just finish then with just verse 1 of chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. That must be our prayer too. That must be our prayer, because it's the very mind of God and of Christ himself. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we pray for your ancient people Israel, that the veil may be taken from their hearts, and their minds, that they may see in Jesus the presence of the very living God to whom their scriptures bear witness. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.